Hey, I'm Chris Cooper. I took a 200-word blog and built a $25 million mentorship company from it. It wasn't easy, and I had to learn some huge and expensive lessons along the way. But now I'm sharing those lessons with other business coaches and mentors and high-level entrepreneurs in this podcast. Want to chat with me? Go to businessisgood.com and click Join the Movement. We'll see you there.
How motivated are you to grow your business? Early on, you might be motivated by the threat of poverty, but later as your business grows, you might actually lose that motivation. It might feel like burnout. It could just feel like you don't really know where you're going. And on bad days, it could feel like you're just working for the government and the landlord and everybody that you pay. We call those $13 days here. I'm Chris Cooper. This is Business is Good. And today I'm going to talk about the three elements of motivation, what they are, how to get your mojo back if you've lost it, and how to motivate your team using these principles. Dan Pink wrote the book, Drive, The Secret Truth About What Motivates Us, and it was a game changer for me back in the day. As I was turning my first business around, a gym, back in 2009, I learned really quickly that it wasn't just about the tactics and strategies, it was also about my mindset. And if my mindset wasn't open to change, and my mindset wasn't open to value, and my mindset wasn't open to learning and accepting help from other people, all those things, then all the books that I was reading didn't really amount to anything. All the lessons I was learning from the mentor wouldn't work. And all my hard work and my 15-hour days and my willingness to starve to feed my family, none of that mattered if I had the wrong mindset. Dan Pink's book, Drive, was a big factor in changing that mindset for me. And one of the things that I learned from that book that was super valuable and tactical that I could use in my business right away, and you can too, is understanding what actually motivates people. So, true motivation is not about fear or money. Yeah, starvation is pretty motivational, but you get pretty burnt out on it, and people will give up even when they're faced with starvation. Money is pretty motivational when you don't have money, but if somebody on your staff does have money, it becomes less motivational. And for all of us who are growing our wealth as entrepreneurs, money should become less motivational over time. In fact, when I reached a certain point in Two Brain Business, our mentorship practice, I actually got demotivated because I couldn't see what was next. I already had more than I needed for the rest of my life. I've shared that story before. To find motivation, though, you have to understand these three elements: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. These are what actually motivate us as entrepreneurs and our staff and even our clients. So let's go through these one-on-one: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. First, let's start with autonomy. Now, we're going to further break this down into the four T's. People need to feel that they have autonomy over these four T's. They need to feel like they have a little bit of autonomy over their task, the thing that they're doing, their time, their technique, and their team. So they need to feel like they have a little bit of autonomy over their task, their time, their technique, and their team. They don't need to feel like they have autonomy in all four, but they need to feel like they have autonomy at least in two or three of those: task, time, technique, or team. What's interesting, though, is what we found during COVID, which happened 10 years after this book was published, was that too much autonomy is actually a bad thing too. What happens when you say to somebody, you can work from home now? Well, the first week is fantastic. You know, soon they're not wearing pants on their calls and it doesn't matter because you can only see them from the belly button up. And, you know, they're running to the laundry and doing a load of laundry in between calls. That's wonderful. And they're able to start dinner during the last hour of their workday and the lasagna's cooking and they're on their calls and now their family's home with them and everything's wonderful. But what we all quickly found out was that too much autonomy was a bad thing because soon they were taking calls at 8 p.m. and their workday extended into a 24-hour day at home. And when people were given the option to return to the office 9 to 5 or stay home, 70% immediately chose to come back to the office. And 6 months later, that number was over 90%. People crave that structure. However, they do like to feel like they have a little bit of autonomy. So the flip side of that unrestrained freedom is you have a very regimented workday. you punch in at exactly 9 o'clock and you got like the old punch card. And then at exactly 10:15, the whistle blows and you get a coffee break. And then at exactly 10:30, it blows again and you have to be back at your station and you're pulling the levers. And that's the old industrial model. People don't want that anymore anyway. They want something in between. So autonomy on their time, autonomy on their task, autonomy on their technique, and autonomy in their team should still look like freedom and responsibility within a framework. You have to have that framework, right? Restrictions actually create freedom. If people know where the lines are, but they can color in the lines, that is what people will describe as kind of the perfect mix between freedom and responsibility in the framework. And that is what will actually create balance. So the best autonomy that you can give people is not perfect autonomy. Check in whenever you want to, check out whenever you want to. Too much freedom is not always great for motivation. Instead, what you want is the perfect balance of freedom and responsibility within a framework. That applies to their task. Hey, we need the outcome to look exactly like this. How you get there, you've got a few different ways. That has to look, they have to have freedom and responsibility within a framework for their time. Hey, look, if you want to start at 8 a.m., that's fine. If you want to take a longer lunch, no problem. The work has to be done. Here is the outcome it's defined. Freedom and responsibility within a framework for their technique means that, you know, you can use Office, you can use Zoom, you can use the tools that you want to communicate with your client. If you prefer to do phone calls, if you prefer to do a 1 hour call every month or 2 half-hour calls, you know, that's fine. If you want to learn different skills that will make you better and you can deliver a little bit differently than other people, that's fine. As long as we get to this outcome and you're within the framework and you meet your responsibilities, then you have freedom. And you also want to have freedom and responsibility within a framework for their team. Here is how you will show up. Here is how you will dress. Maybe you don't have to wear a suit and tie to work anymore, but the team is still expecting you to be on time for meetings and you're going to wear a shirt with a collar on it because that's how the team shows up together. So autonomy is great as long as you're providing autonomy within a framework and you balance that freedom with responsibility. So the first part of motivating ourselves and our staff is that we have freedom and responsibility within a framework. The second piece is mastery. We get motivated from finding success. We don't get motivated and then become successful. I'm going to say this in a slightly different way. Success motivates us. We need to find small wins really quickly. If you want to keep a client coming back long-term to your gym or to any other service, you need them to win on the first visit. You have to make them successful to show them that they can do it and that they can achieve something that they're probably not getting anywhere else in their life. And that is this feeling of success. If you want a staff person to be with you long-term and feel motivated, you need them to win on their first day. And that might mean part of your onboarding process, part of your training process. They need to feel like I will be successful at this job. And it's not coddling them. It's not giving them a participation trophy. It's giving them a task that they can complete successfully. That will motivate them. Success precedes motivation. Motivation does not precede success. Another couple of tricks that you can use to promote the feeling of mastery is you count tiny wins at the end of the week. You can have people, your staff or your clients, say, here's what went well for me this week. We call that bright spots. You can have people on your staff or you at the end of the day just to record 2 or 3 little wins from the day before they leave. That'll have them leaving on the right note and feeling like they've been successful. And then finally, stacking those wins. So at the end of every week, you think, hey, what went right this week? Those are my bright spots. And then as you do that more and more and more, it becomes a habit to stack your wins. I'm sure you've all read the books about habit stacking and how important that is. Win stacking is even more important because done right, the wins will become habits and people will become habitual at winning. That's what mastery is. But also, if they get good at stacking habits, then they are more likely to win over the long term. So when people first start with you, doing the work is the win. They need to celebrate that. As they get going, they should find other wins in being successful in your business or in your service, and so should you. And they should be stacking those wins, tracking them over time, reporting them to you and to themselves. So the first two parts about motivation that we've covered so far are autonomy and mastery. The third one is purpose. A noble purpose is the foundation of motivation. Many people, for example, would say, oh, I had a bad day at work, but they would also say, but I love my job. What that means is that long-term, the big vision, they're happy, they're motivated, they're going to keep showing up. Their vocation or their job, it serves a noble purpose. And so some short-term setbacks or some short-term stress won't derail their happiness for long. They will stay motivated if they're working with a noble purpose. Now, a lot of us just take for granted that our staff understands the noble purpose of our company, but they might not. They might not know the mission. They might not know the vision of where you're going to. And it's so important to communicate this to them over and over in a variety of ways so that they get it. It's also important for your clients to know what your purpose is. You know, at Two Brain, we say that we want to make gyms successful because if the gym is successful, then the clients will be healthier. And if the clients are healthier, that will remove a lot of the healthcare stress in our world and we'll start extending our lifespan and start getting everybody happier and healthier worldwide. Like there's a huge trickle-down effect to our purpose and that's what makes it noble. When I'm working with gym owners who are going through a hard time, I tend to carry a lot of their burdens personally. I will stay up all night worrying about things or trying to solve a puzzle for them. I lose sleep when they're going through a rate increase, or I comb through their social media nonstop when they fire a coach. Now, I wouldn't describe those days as happy ones for me because I care a lot about my clients, but because I have a strong sense of purpose, I would never say that I don't like my job as a mentor at Two Brain Business. I know from vast experience that though this is a hard period for them, that they are doing the right thing in the long term. And if I can get them to do hard action, then eventually they will become far more successful and happier. Their families will benefit, their staff will benefit, and their clients will benefit most of all. That's why being a mentor makes me happy and motivates me every single day. How do you know if your job or your vocation fulfills a noble purpose? When you do it for free. I would do this job for free, and I have done it for free. You would probably do your job as an entrepreneur for free too. When owning a gym was my only job, I would daydream many times. Like if somebody would come along and just pay me a salary, they could have the gym and I would be happy. I just wanted enough money to survive and keep going. Doing the job made me happy and motivated because I had a noble purpose. But unfortunately, the necessities of owning the gym soon began to outweigh the happiness that I received from coaching. And then until I fixed the business, coaching made me unhappy because I was always worried about money and I was always worried about all this other stuff. If you really want to motivate yourself, your staff, and your clients, give them autonomy, but just enough. Freedom and responsibility within a framework. Give them mastery, but you have to lead them to this. You have to help them win early, and then you have to have them recognizing their own wins over time and celebrating those wins on their own. But at first, you might have to help them with that. And finally, a noble purpose. As your company grows, more and more of your job is just to come back to your purpose and reinforce that and reinforce that and reinforce that and talk to your staff about it, talk to your clients about it, talk about nothing else over and over. Because if they believe that they are working on a noble purpose, they can get through any short-term problems, any little arguments, any workplace friction. They can even get over their anger at you or their payroll problems or whatever it is. Purpose gets them through. Purpose keeps them motivated, and purpose will keep your business moving forward. I'm Chris Cooper. This is Business is Good, and these were the three elements of motivation.
Thanks for listening to Business is Good. If you'd like to chat about this episode or the blog post or podcast that I put on the Business is Good site, just go to businessisgood.com and click Join the Movement. We'll see you there.